life. Again, for me to say that I'm a follower of Jesus, and for me to live my life just like I've always lived it, for me to be involved and love the world, that there's no identifying commitments, or no, we read Wednesday night in Daniel 1, and Daniel purpose, that there's no godly purpose in my life that's evident. I really question, where that individual's at. I'm not trying to judge, but if there's no fruit in my life that's godly fruit, there's no fruit in my life that's fruit of the Spirit, I question whether I'm in the Spirit. Because if I'm in the Spirit and I'm dwelling and abiding with Jesus, the Bible says there will be fruit. You know, if the apple tree is planted and growing, I saw blossoms yesterday on the apple trees. That's a good sign, right? Because after the blossoms come the little apples, and this fall there's going to be apples hanging from those trees. And so there's fruit. There's fruit. Why? Because that tree is hooked into the roots and the fruit is hooked into the vine. And Jesus says, if I abide in the vine, there's going to be fruit. There can't help but be fruit. And so if there's no fruit in a life, that's a very telling thing. And there needs to be, in those cases, there needs to be a repentance and a turning. And so how did this practically work out in Hezekiah's life? His life was very much radically different. He did things in his life, like Daniel purposing in his heart. He lived a life that was very decisive for God. His purpose in life was to live a life that was pleasing to God. And so we're going to see that that's the case with Hezekiah. And it not only impacts Hezekiah's life, but it impacts the lives of those around me. When I'm living for Jesus, it's going to definitely define my life in a certain way. But hopefully, if it's me personally, it's going to impact my home. My home is going to reflect my life because I'm the father and the husband and the pastor of my home. And so my home's going to reflect a life that's purposed and decisive and committed to the ways of the Lord, to trusting in the Lord, to obeying the Lord, walking with the Lord, clinging to the Lord, not departing from the Lord. What in the heck are we going to do with our kids? My kids are grown and gone. You guys have, what are you going to do with your kids? You're going to put them in a state school where, maybe Mr. Janitor walks into the girls' restroom and uses the restroom? It's going to be the law. It's a law right now in North Carolina. Mr. Janitor, you're going to have to make a, am I just going to take the easy path and stick my kids in a school, or am I going to sacrifice and either teach them at home or put them in a school that teaches Jesus? Isn't it sad that the Christian schools, and I know a lot, we've done Christian schooling here. And I hear all the excuses, and none of them are worth a hill of beans. That the Christian schools, most of them are closing down. And there's all kinds of excuses why that's happening. But really, the bottom line is, we as Christians, we're no different. We want to have our kids 8 hours a day, 180 days a year indoctrinated with godless, in many ways, mindless propaganda. And they're shaping our kids. And our kids might be around you know, depend on what's going on in the home, but it's sad. Huge decisions that we're going to make. You know, I'll tell you, my kid wouldn't be in a... Even in restaurants and stuff, I don't know. We're going to have to make some decisions. You know, can Target and these places survive? I mean, I'm not into boycotting or nothing, stuff like that. But I'm not going to shop there. I'm not even going to go into doors. You know, our culture's lost. It is. You know, you look at what's going on in our country. It just blows your mind. So we're going to see that a life that is purposed in those ways. Not only, I mean, there's a very dramatic lifestyle that takes place, and it impacts the home, and it impacts beyond that. And we're going to see this guy, he was a king. Wow. Unbelievable that the kingdom experiences revival. We pray for a revival today, and it's like, oh Lord, bring revival to America. But you know what? I'm not going to change. I'm not purposed in anything. You know, I just want you to take away the judgment. You know, I just want you to you know, bring a hee-haw time, you know, whoopee time again. And it's all for the wrong reasons. No, repentance, it starts with me. And if I'm an individual of brokenness and I'm an individual of repentance, you know, how many, is that what we seek in our prayer times? Is that what we're asking God to do? That's what the Bible says, a precursor to revival and renewal. You know, Lord, break me. Lord, deal with my heart and deal with it decisively. And so, if I'm never renewed, if the church, that's all of us, if we're not renewed, I don't think the land's going to be renewed. So, let's look at it. Hezekiah, verse 1 of chapter 29 of 2 Chronicles. Hezekiah became king, just again, touching on what we already touched on, but the chronicler goes farther. He was 25 years old and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abby, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father had done. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, immediately, you see, this is a thing. Hezekiah, he has made decisions in his life, and these things are immediate things. The first thing he's going to do, he's not going to build the infrastructure of Judah. He's not going to initiate health care for Judah. He's not going to build up the military of Judah. The very first thing he's going to do, he's going to do the most important thing and the most necessary thing that needs to be done. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opens the doors of the house of the Lord and he repairs them. He goes right to the heart of the matter. He knows that he can do any of these other things and it might bring a temporary change or a little bit of a temporary relief, but it's not going to be lasting, and there's nothing eternal about it. And so he knows that Jesus is the answer. And he knows that getting people to Jesus is the answer. And so the very first thing he does, again, our whole thing is, there's this little group over here and they make a lot of noise and, oh my gosh, I wouldn't want to offend them in any way. And really the little noisy group over there, really they should dictate what the majority, what the huge group should be doing. And so, you know, we've got to not offend them, and we've got to include them and embrace them, and we've got to be correct. There's this correctness that is about, you know, what it's all about today. And so, no, Hezekiah said, you know what? Jesus is the answer. What's the answer for my life this morning? It's really, really simple. Jesus. Doesn't matter where I'm at. Doesn't matter what I'm doing. Doesn't matter what I'm facing. And Jesus is the answer. Not, and it doesn't mean I don't take pills, because I take pills every day. But it's not some pill ain't the answer, some counselor ain't the answer, some program ain't the answer. Jesus, the person of Jesus, and an intimate relationship with Him is the answer. That's the answer to my life. That's the answer to your life. That's the answer to whatever you're in, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer for me. He's the answer for my family. He's the answer for our church. He's the answer for our community. He's the answer for our country. Jesus. And that's it. And anything else. And so there was great pressure as a king to trust in horses and to trust in chariots and to trust in other things. And Hezekiah says, I can only trust in one thing. We already read it last week. I got to trust in God. Jesus is the answer. And so he immediately opens the doors of the house of the Lord. Isn't it interesting that why would you have to open? Because they've been closed. And he repaired them, broken down. And then he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square and said to them, hear me, Levites, sanctify yourselves, sanctify the house of God, carry out the rite. I just love that. That just that the picture of that. You know, here the temple literally was full of garbage and rubbish. Hezekiah says, open up the doors, repair the place, get the garbage out. Then we can worship the Lord. And sanctification and holiness, he calls the people. And it begins what? With the Levites, with those that were given a task to do the work of the temple. So the Levites and the priests, sanctify yourselves. God's holy. Be holy. And a large part of being holy, yes, being in a relationship to Jesus, but then making those decisions, getting rid of the garbage that's in my life. Cleanness, that's what holiness is, separation. Holiness is rightness. Holiness is purity. You and I, as we're in Christ, are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's in Christ Jesus. But I need to make sure that the things that I'm allowing in my life, you know, again, are they things that are godly things, and or is it rubbish? Is it garbage? I need to get rid of the garbage. And that's what Hezekiah does. He doesn't hesitate to do that. We saw last week that one of the, we're going to see it again. The immediate things he does, he starts cutting off and he starts getting rid of. He starts literally destroying the idol worship. Getting rid of it. Not just, you know, cleaning it up and masking it. No, he gets rid of it. He removes it. You know, I can't control myself, so I'm gonna bring my computer out on the kitchen table. Well, then I'll just be at the computer on the kitchen table in the middle of the night. It doesn't do anything. I probably, unless I get with Jim and he puts something on there that I can't, that blocks everything, I gotta get rid of the computer. Do you understand that? I've got to get rid of those things. And if I don't, then I'm not purposed in the Lord. I've not been like Daniel. I've not been like Hezekiah. You know, why do we have these good times, but it's, you know what, it's not a lasting thing. And it's not long till the home is just a war zone again and it's chaotic. It's because I haven't made that decisive purpose thing, and it's a half-hearted thing, maybe a hopeful thing. But you know what? I love the I love that flesh. I love what it does. I love to feed it, and ultimately, I'm feeding it. And there's no change. There's no. I have not sanctified it, because if it's sanctified, it's done. Hezekiah cut out. He ground it to powder. He took that idol. And it was something, can you imagine that? It was something that Moses had made and had been around for hundreds of years. I mean, could it be ranked up there with some of the, you know, articles of the temple? Not quite the Ark of the Covenant, but up there. And what does Hezekiah do? Here's this artifact. I mean, it was a national symbol. It would be like taking a copy of the Declaration of Independence, you know, in the glass saying, you know, going down to the Capitol, wherever it is down there, and you know what, they're worshiping it. I got to burn that thing. It doesn't exist anymore. He ground that thing to powder and then threw the powder away. That's getting rid of something. And that is what Hezekiah did. He said, you know what? To be in Christ is to be holy. And so he sanctified personally. And then the temple. I like verse 11. We'll just skip to 11. So he opens up the doors. He repairs it. He sanctifies the place. He cleans the place out. We need to clean our lives out. I like verse 11. My sons, do not be negligent now. Very easy to make decisions and then become negligent. To not stay on top of it all. Look, I like this because I think, you know, it's the same. It's true right now. The Lord has chosen you. The Lord has chosen us. We're a chosen people, Peter says. A special people, a peculiar people, a holy people. We're priests and we're kings. The Lord has chosen you to stand before Him. He's chosen us to stand before Him, to serve Him, to minister to Him. That's our purpose, to glorify Him. It is my purpose, personally. But there's a danger. Well, the pastor does that. No. I'm a priest. Just in the body of Christ, I'm a pastor teacher. You're still a priest. Everyone in this room today is a priest. And so what is the priest's duty? To stand before the Lord, to serve the Lord, to minister to the Lord. Every one of us. All right, so that's what Hezekiah does. Look at verse 17 and 18. They began. It wasn't like just kind of a... It was fairly quick, but it wasn't immediate. Took them a number of days to sanctify the temple, to clean the junk and the rubbish and the garbage out of the temple. And so they began, verse 17, to sanctify on the first day of the first month, and on the eighth day of the month they came to the vestibule of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days. And on the 16th day of the first month they finished. So, well, 16 days, he's saying, it took to do this. You know, and so it took some time. And it takes us time. And I don't want to neglect it. And I think it's something that's an ongoing thing, really. So he opens the doors, he repairs it, cleans it up. Then what's he do? Verse 20, then King Hezekiah rose early, gathered the rulers of the city, and went up to the house of the Lord. And they brought the bulls and so on, and they killed the bulls, and they brought the male goats, and they killed them, and they sacrificed to the Lord. And verse 28, so all the assembly worshipped. They became worshipers. Hezekiah says, you know what? Jesus is the answer. And so we're repenting. We're cleaning things up. We're making this purposeful, decisive, committed decision in our life that we're going to worship Him. Getting rid of the junk. He's the priority now. And then they worship Him. They become worshipers again. They had worshiped for a long time. And we're going to see that even the Word of God had been lost. The Word of God wasn't being taught. It wasn't being read. It wasn't being used. And so they worship. They worship the Lord. I love the singers sang, the instruments, you know, the trumpeters sounded. All this continued. And so they said, you know what, I'm going to be a worshiper of the Lord. And that's what is the neat thing about David. And again, the Bible doesn't, you know, shun or stand back from David's frailties and his weaknesses. The neat thing is that exposes that, and what made David a man after God's own heart? He just had that heart. I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm gonna be with the Lord. Lord, work that in us. We go to church Sunday morning at 10 and worship, but I want to be a worshiper. That again is my life. I'm in the Lord, and the Lord's the answer. And again, the commitment, the sanctification has occurred and is occurring, and I'm a worshiper of the Lord. I'm worshiping the Lord continually. That's my lifestyle. And then beyond that, what happens is God begins to do a work in their hearts. Because when it comes to the worship, there's certain things that occur when I come to the Lord. And some things, it's like my devotions. You know what? Now I'm tired, you know, blowing those things off. I'm tired of going through a week and thinking, man, you know what? I really haven't been in fellowship with the Lord. You know what? This thing really hasn't been used at all throughout the whole week. And I've had time, but you know what? I put other things ahead of the Lord all the time. And there comes a place where God, as I follow this example of Hezekiah, something begins to happen in my heart. And what we see here is they began to worship the Lord, and they did the things, you might say, that they were required to do. The sacrifices. But look at verse 31. So the assembly, the second half of it, brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, as many as were of a willing heart, brought burnt offerings. See, we don't know how many, but what happens is, as I begin to worship the Lord then, that the Lord begins to do something in my heart, where that I'm not doing these things now. It's a spiritual, mystical, spiritual thing that God does. And it's from the inside out that God has, you know, it's no longer I'm in my notebook, I'm checking, yes, I did this and this and this and this and this. No, as I've now become a worshiper of God, something's happened on the inside. As many as were willing now brought in, they weren't commanded, or they weren't by law, demanded to do these, but out of a willing heart, you know, I'm going to do more. That is an awesome way to live. It's no longer a duty. Oh, geez. Look at that sunshine out there. Oh, gosh. Oh, Jesus. Let's get to church and get out of there quickly. Oh, I can't. Oh, it's such a... It's not a have to. It's a want to. Oh, it's such a joy just to hear a Bible study. Oh, it's such a joy just to call that person and just, you know what, I'm praying for you. Or I was thinking of you. How you doing? What's going on? It's such a joy. It's such a joy to lay aside, and I'm not really even thinking of this anymore. That's what happens as I become a worshiper. And you see that happen a few times, you know, when they built the temple, remember? When they actually built the temple, you know, Moses, he said, you know, bring the... And then finally Moses had to say, stop! You know, geez, you've given so much, don't give anymore! Moses didn't put an amount on it, but just the joy, just the want to. There's nothing better than just to serve. And that's what you see revival starting to happen in their hearts. As they've purposed and made this commitment and this decision in their hearts. And Hezekiah, as the leader's doing this, and then look how it's spreading. To the priests, to the assembly, to the people. They hadn't obeyed the Lord forever. Chapter 30. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and also wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover of the Lord God of Israel. Now it's not a burden. Now it's not again. Oh, I have, you know, what a bummer this is. In fact, when all of us, when we're told to do something right, don't tell me what to do, and I ain't doing it. Just because nobody's going to tell me what to do. And now, see, all that's changed. Now it's like, it goes beyond. And again, it's like, wow, what a joy. You know, I just want to obey the Lord. What's the word say? Oh, the word says that we should be celebrating the Passover. You know what? Let's celebrate the Passover. Why? Because just my heart, it's the desire of my heart now, just to please the Lord. And if I love the Lord, what am I going to do? I'm going to obey the Lord. That's really the test, a test of my love, isn't it? If I love Him, I'm going to obey Him. You know, and again, it's not that burdensome thing when I'm in relationship with Him. It's not that burdensome thing when I'm a worshiper of Him. It's like, wow, how stupid. It's such a joy just to do what the Lord tells me to do. And Hezekiah, he now, let's do the Passover. And look at again, just a couple of things. Verse 7 and 8, and I want to read verse 12. He reminds the people, again, here's this decision, this purposefulness in life, this commitment. You know, either I'm going to be committed or I'm not. And he reminds them, and do not be like your fathers and your brethren who trespass against the Lord, God of their fathers. That just leads to death and desolation and it's not good. Bondage. And then I like this phrase, don't be stiff-necked as your fathers were. That's pride. And that's, you know what? God isn't God, I'm God. And don't tell me what to do. Don't be stiff-necked. But what? Look at what he says. But yield. I'm not on the throne anymore. God, I'm an idiot. I know it. I just want to do what you tell me to do. I'm just going to obey. That's, again, what Hezekiah encourages the people. Why? It's all the Lord. And then I liked what, again, when I begin and I made that decision. What happened to Daniel? He made that decision and it's like, whoa. Either what God says is true or not. Either God's God or He isn't God. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. As Ashpenaz, the chief butler, the guy indoctrinating them and you know, making them into these Babylonians, as he looked at them, oh, they look better than the guys that are in our other program. And God went beyond it, didn't it? As they made that commitment and that purpose, you know what? It's all of the Lord. Physically, meant in every way. In fact, in Daniel there, chapter 1, it says, and God gave them knowledge beyond anything, wisdom beyond anything. In other words, you know, like 2 plus 2, they could do that kind of stuff. Intellectually, God blessed them. With wisdom, He blessed them. With knowledge, with wisdom. See, a complete thing, what God did in their lives. And I like this in verse 12. And the hand of God was on Judah. And you're saying, man, I don't know how I can ever get through this. I don't know how I can navigate all this stuff. I don't know. I've opened my life up to all these things, and I've even made commitments to these things. You know, I don't have much time for the Lord at all, but I'm a member of the lodge, a member, I'm bowling, you know, I'm on the softball team, I'm up at the Rod and Gun Club. I've made all these commitments to all these people. I've even spent money. And what happened is I began to make these decisions, and the hand of God was on Judah to give them singleness of heart. And I think that as I make those decisions and God begins to work in my heart and I begin to see these things, He begins, you know what? I just don't have time for that anymore. You know what? I just don't have a desire for that anymore. You know what? I just want to serve the Lord. You know, I can see that the most important thing is just Jesus, and there's all contentment and fulfillment in that and satisfaction in that. I don't know why I was doing all these other things. I don't know why I was working my regular job, and then, you know, on the side, I was doing construction, and then I doing I don't know what else I could do. I was counseling on the side, and teaching guitar, beginner guitar. That's what I would have to teach, beginner guitar. On the side, and then I decided I was gonna mow lawns. Do a few lawns in the summer. I got all this stuff all over the place. And I wonder, and the Lord begins to give me a singleness of heart. And again, what He specifically, just obey the command of the king and the leaders, the word of the Lord. I just see that that's all my, that's where it's all at. It's right there. And I don't need all this other stuff. Hezekiah. So he opens the doors, repairs, cleanses. Then he worships and he restores worship. He's a worshiper himself. And so those around, they become worshipers. You know what? I have a heart. And so part of my worship is, you know, things I would never even think of. It's just a joy to do. I'm just serving the Lord in so many different ways now. Worshiping the Lord in ways I never even thought I would. And I'm not even checking the list off anymore. It's just such a joy. And I have just a heart just to do the Lord, just to do the Word. To obey the Lord, I don't even hesitate. I don't really even think about it. This occurs in Hezekiah's life. It occurs in the priests and the Levites. And then you see how it's spreading. The Lord gives them a signal of the heart just to obey the Lord. Then what happens? Revival. It's only after all that revival. We see that revival occurs. Chapter 31. Now when all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah, and now everybody's doing it. You know, there's revival in their lives, and there's revival in the nation. You know, we got to clean it all up. Hezekiah didn't pass a law. Hezekiah didn't demand. It's just something that's happening now in the hearts of the people. I'm not going to read that, but they go out and they just say, you know what? Jesus is going to be first. He's foremost. Again, he's where it's at. This other man, getting rid of it. We just love the Lord, and we're just going to walk with the Lord and obey the Lord. And that's what happens in Hezekiah's life, in the priest's life, then in the assembly's life, then in the entire nation. It's a revival. It's renewal that occurs. It's a neat little example. It's a neat little encouragement. Where do I need revived today? Are there things in my life that need, he brought reformation, that need reformed? If I was really honest, do I have a single heart? Yeah, I got a single heart to make money. I got a single heart to, I got to be happy. You know, I want to have fun. I have a singleness of heart to have. Do I have a singleness of heart that Jesus, you're the answer? That Jesus, you're the priority? That Jesus, in ministry, I can, you know, Jim, he's been ministry a long time. I've been ministry a long time. Lance, you know, some of the guys, you know, in the church and it, man, you can lose heart or lose focus. You know, why are we doing these things? You know, the school, it shrunk every year. Should we do this year or not? Jeez. I've done that. Bible studies. Do a Bible study, and one person comes? Should I do this Bible study? Why? And you start looking at things in that way. And what? I'm doing it for me. I need more one person to say this is worthwhile and it's worth my time. My. No, am I doing it for that or am I doing it for Jesus? To be in the Word. Am I, you know, what's my push here? What in my life? What am I doing these things for? What's really the bottom line of you know my heart? The construction thing, personally, we work hard. I think this last year is one of the hardest years we've had work-wise. And sometimes I think, geez, you know, I do not want to. Yesterday we went to a party, And the first three families that came to the party, they knew each other. I kind of knew a couple of them. They, oh, you're back. You're back. Oh, you're back. When did you get back? Well, we got back Friday. We got back Wednesday. We got back Monday. When did you? I'm back. Where were you? Well, we winter in Florida. Now, I don't know if I want to winter in Florida. But it's like, wow. You know, that's what I lived my whole life for, right? That's my goal in life. That someday I can winter in Florida. I'm fulfilled. I'm back. I'm fulfilled. How empty is that? I mean, come on. It's got to be empty. That is not what I want to live my life for. Do you understand? Hezekiah, look at what he did. You know, where a lot of times I'm not satisfied and I'm you know, antsy and I'm struggling because I'm not right. I'm not right where I'm not right in my life perspective. You know, if Jim was going to be happy, if he had I have to have 100 kids in the school to be happy. You're never going to be happy because I don't think you're ever going to see 100 kids. All right, so let's get our focus right, Jim. See what I'm saying? That, you know, why Hezekiah is a great example. He trusted in the Lord. He got rid of all this other stuff in his life. You know, it's just distractions. Some of it was sin. You know, but sanctified his life. He worshiped the Lord. He became a worshiper of the Lord. He didn't neglect the things of the Lord. And as that happened, the Lord gave him a singleness of heart. What an impact Hezekiah had. We're going to see, he wasn't perfect. And Isaiah 36, 7, 8, right in there. We're going to see that, you know, Hezekiah, I mean, he failed. And you and I are going to fail. But Hezekiah was a good man, a godly man. What a leader. Lord, make us more like Hezekiah. That's my prayer today. Let's pray. Lord, we'll just end that way. Lord, make us more like Hezekiah in these ways. Lord, show us where we've put other things before you. Lord, we run after so many things, thinking that that's what's going to fulfill us and how empty it is. Lord, give us a singleness of heart as we purpose in our heart to trust you and follow you and worship you in these ways. Lord, revive us. Revive our homes. Lord, go and be with us. Again, bless the family things here, the gatherings. Lord, the moms. And Lord, just give us a good week. Lord, help us to just keep our eyes looking up to you. In Jesus' name, amen.